Take your Bibles, if you would, turn to Proverbs chapter number 18. And Proverbs chapter number 18, it's good to be here this evening. And of course, welcome all those that are watching at home. I would encourage you just to, Pastor Townsley mentioned the YouTube channel. If you're looking for that, it's under Central Baptist Church space CT. Now that's not, you don't spell space, but there's a space between Central Baptist Church and CT. That'll get you right there. There's stuff up there from that has been going there when we've live streamed the services there. I would encourage you, if you're looking for something to watch, that 9 o'clock service from Sunday morning, very interesting, from Brother Bob Mack talking about those things that happened on the mission field, just some of the testimonies that he has given. So Central Baptist Space CT will get you there. It should pull it right up. But Proverbs chapter number 18, and we're going to read one verse. I'd encourage you, even at home, keep your Bible out and open with you. We're going to take a look at several passages of Scripture this evening. But it's Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 14. The Bible says that the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? Dear Lord, we thank you for the day. Thank you for the privilege to open up your word. Thank you for faithful church people who are interested in still participating and partaking in the church services online or through whatever means it may be. Lord, we ask you, please be with our country during this time. It's a very difficult time. A lot of sickness, a lot of hardship financially, a lot of things taking place. We ask that you please be with us and work in our nation. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Solomon here in this proverb, in this one verse, this simple verse, he expresses great insight into people, into us, how we are made up. Here's some observations just right from this verse. First of all, we notice that we are more than our physical bodies. You notice what he said? He talks here about the spirit of a man will bear his infirmity. Infirmity is something that happens in our physical body. When this virus that's going around, it's something that attacks the physical body. But Solomon is making it clear that there's more to us than just that physical body. There's a spirit within us all. So we learn that we're more than just our bodies. What 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I'll read it to you, verse 11 says, "For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God." So every person has a spirit within them, and that is the eternal part of us that will live forever, that God breathed and began, and that spirit will live forever, either in heaven or in a place called hell. It is our God consciousness, and that's within all of us. We see the physical body. We feel pain in the physical body, but there's more to us than that. Solomon is acknowledging that. Also, from this, we learn that our disposition toward life is not determined by our physical circumstances. He says that the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. The idea here is that even if we are physically beaten down or physically sick, that spirit within us can sustain us. It will carry us through that. It will build us up through that. We also learn from this that a spiritual problem cannot be solved with physical means. In the second part of the verse, he says a wounded spirit, he asks the question, who can bear? The idea of bearing there is kind of carrying a physical load. And the concept here is that when there's a problem in the spirit, a physical means can't really remedy that problem, can't physically address that problem. You know, we can go to physical means to try to deal with the symptoms of a wounded spirit. Unfortunately, a lot of people do that. They go to substances and they go to things, and unfortunately that often leads to addictions and things like that. And what are they trying to do? They're trying to physically remedy something that is really a spiritual problem. You know, a lot of times we look at things and we deal with things in life and we think of them completely in the terms of the physical, but we could really get at the root of the problem if we started first thinking in terms of the spiritual. Because what seems to be physical, I'm not talking about you have a cough and it's all connected to things, but we get out of sorts, and we get out of sorts in our mind and such, and think, well, that's because I don't feel good. Well, it might be because our spirit's not right. So there's a spiritual problem cannot be solved with physical means. The fourth observation out of this is that our spirit is capable of sustaining us through times of infirmity. Our spirit's capable of sustaining us through times of infirmity. We've seen examples of this many times through history. I'm amazed. I don't know who this was. No one knows. There was a man that sat in the Bedford Jail in England many, many years ago in the 1600s. At that point, the colonies in America were about to be established and founded, and religious persecution against folks who were not part of the traditional churches was still a very real thing, both in England, and it would still be a real thing in the New World for a while. But people began to write and talk about things like liberty of conscience. And from that jail in Bedford, England, where a man sat, and no one knows his name, he mustered up the courage of spirit to, on a piece of parchment, using milk as his ink, to write a simple tract called Humble Supplications. And that little tract would go on to become part of a larger compilation that would impact people that would have a part in the founding of the United States of America. And its idea, he was there for religious reasons, and his idea was this: people should be able to worship God in spirit and in truth. They should be able to worship God in a way that their conscience allows them to, in a way that their conscience is in agreement with. And from that jail cell, that anonymous writer, he was restrained, but his spirit remained strong. And he used the tools that he had available to him, a piece of parchment of some sort, and milk as ink. They said in order to read it, you had to hold it up to the light in order to be able to see what was written there. You see, he was physically constrained, but his spirit was still strong. And he did something that had an impact. You could go and think of another English author in a prison that would begin to, the workings of two great works. One of them was Holy War. Some people say that Holy War would be the greatest metaphor of the Christian life that was ever written if it weren't for Pilgrim's Progress. John Bunyan wrote both of them. You see, he was in prison. That prison had a big effect on his writing and on his time. He was in prison, he was physically restrained, but his spirit carried him through, and he produced what was, outside of the Bible, in Pilgrim's Progress, the most published book of all time, and has had probably, outside of the Bible, as much of an impact as any book of all time. And he was a man that was in jail, he was a man that was confined physically, but his spirit sustained him through that. He wasn't broken. He wasn't beaten down. I read this verse and, of course, think about our country at this time. We're in a very unique set of circumstances. We're used to being able to roam free, aren't we? And we're used to be able to do what we want to do when we want to do it. We're used to being able to go out and go places and do things and get on airplanes and go take trips and go to malls and go to stores and do all this stuff. And now it's constricted, and we're not used to that. And more as we talk to people through text messages or through phone calls or personal contacts, we see that this is all taking a toll on people. Both from the physical confinement, being confined to the four walls of a home because of what they've been asked to do, or maybe even because of fear, and it might even be a healthy type of fear to stay away from certain things, and all of this it's weighing on people. There's a financial pressure that's weighing on people. People have lost jobs, and stock market's down, and all these things, And we went from, it's amazing how quickly we went from how we were to how we are. It didn't happen. You would have thought, I mean, if you described the set of circumstances 3 months ago, you would have thought, oh, to be in a situation like that, it would must take some foreign invasion or some, you know, some war or something like that, and yet something that we can't even see. You know, it's a reminder. Now, you ought to go listen on our Pastor Townsley did a podcast on the Foundations for Faith podcast about this issue, and I agree fully. It's a reminder of that God is at work, and God can do some things in a very quick moment and whenever he desires to do it. Now, it's not saying that this is his direct judgment or anything of that sort, but it is a reminder that he can. And so here we are, and we're stuck. As a nation, essentially, we have an infirmity. But you know what? The Bible says this truth here can help us, that the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. How you as an individual, you as a household, how you make it through these next however long this might transpire will not be dictated by your surroundings or by your physical circumstances. Rather, it will be determined by your spirit. So I'm going to talk for a few minutes this evening, and again, hang on to your Bibles. We'll take a look at several passages of Scripture about how to maintain the right spirit through this type of infirmity, this type of national infirmity, if you will. What does it take? Well, first of all, a person needs to have a regenerate spirit. A person needs to have a spirit that's been made alive by God. You see, the Bible tells us that because of the sin of Adam, that we are all dead in trespasses and in sin. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12 says, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." You know, people, and plenty of people do, can walk around and be physically healthy, but still be spiritually dead. Unfortunately, that describes a lot of the folks that we come into contact with. As a matter of fact, that describes all of us in our natural state. We are dead in trespasses and sin. But take a look, if you would, if you have your Bible with you, at the book of Ephesians, chapter number 2. Ephesians, chapter number 2. Ephesians 2, verse 1, the Bible says this, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and in sins." It says, "You hath he quickened." That word quickened means to be made alive. See, friend, I was dead in my sin. But one day, as a child, I heard the gospel. I understood that I was a sinner. I understood that that sin separated me from an active relationship with God. It also separated me from an eternal relationship with God. Now, I don't know that I could have expressed it that way, but I understood that because of my sin, I deserved to be punished. But I learned that Jesus died for my sin. And I learned that he rose again from the dead because of my sin. He did all of that in order to forgive my sin, and I was told the wonderful truth that all I had to do was trust him as my Savior, and he would forgive my sin. And as a child, that's what I did. By faith, I claimed the promise of Romans chapter 10 and verse 13, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I, by faith, claimed that promise. I called on the Lord Jesus Christ. I, by faith, asked him to save me. And do you know what the Bible says happened at that moment? That spirit that was once dead was quickened or made alive. You see, friend, we can't have a spirit with any sort of real strength to it if we have a dead spirit. We need to have that spirit regenerated or made alive by God. A person who has trusted Christ as Savior is given a companion who is the Holy Spirit, who is called the Comforter. You know what that means? That if a person hasn't trusted Christ as Savior, they're without the Comforter. You know what people need now? They need comfort. They need something that our culture can't provide right now. You know, it's awkward for all of the phrases social distancing, and that's an awkward thing. I mean, your instinct is to reach out and shake one's hand. Some people's instinct is to hug other people. Now, that's never been my instinct, so I haven't had a problem with that. But shaking hands and some do, they like hugs and things like that, and that's an instinct. Well, you know, that's part of who we are. We get comfort from being around other people. Now that's been cut off, and people are disturbed by that, and even though they may understand the measures, that's an anguishing thing to them. Well, friend, if you're saved, you've been made alive in your spirit, and you are given the Comforter to comfort you. You know what people need? What they're looking for when they don't have that physical comfort? They're looking for comfort. Well, if you're listening to this on the internet, maybe you've tuned in, maybe sometime down the road you find this on the internet somewhere, and you go, I'm going to listen to what this crazy man has to say, then you can listen to this right now. If you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, right now where you're at, you immediately have the Comforter with you. And so, that spirit, we need a regenerated spirit, a spirit that has been made alive. If you've not saved, if you've never trusted Christ as Savior, it must start there. I would beseech you right now where you're at, even if it's behind a computer screen, bow your head before the Lord and call on Him out of faith. The Bible says, thou shalt be saved. So we need a regenerate spirit. Second thought, though, is we should have a clean spirit. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter number 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. If you're in this part of the New Testament, we will be in several passages in this general area, so you can kind of stay here and can get to it quickly. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, let me actually back up, and I'm going to read chapter 6, verse 17. He says, wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you. And ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. The thought here, the idea here is this. He calls on believers to come out from the world, be separate, be distinct from the world. And you say, well, That's hard to do. Oh, but when you look at the promise that He gives, you realize it's not really a hard thing to ask. He tells us, He says, we're not just coming out and away from. He says, I will be a father to you. In other words, you're not just leaving something behind. You're embracing something in front of you. You're embracing your position as a child of God. You're embracing me as your father. You are embracing the promises that I give you as a father. And then He challenges us based on these promises. What promise is it? The promise that he'll be a father. Heart broke a little bit this week. Family that I knew, a preacher, a man of God that that influenced me. He had cancer. He passed away this week, 58 years old. Texted his son today, his an adult son, but he has some even little younger kids as well, not young, but I texted his adult son saying, I'm praying for you. You know what? They're grieving right now because they lost their father. You know, I've had to grieve like that as well, as many of you have as well. But you know what? Our Heavenly Father never leaves us nor forsakes us. True. He's always there. And He says, based on this promise, He says, He says, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. You know, this time in our country has separated us from a lot of things. You know, it's amazing what we think we kind of rely upon and need, and then you don't have it anymore. A lot of folks just consume sports. You know what? It's not there. A lot of things, there's a lot of things that just were part of our normal routine, that now they're not there. You know what that could lead to? This could be a time of spiritual revival, where we look around and assess, you go, you know what? I'm doing fine without all of that. And now that I can look at it, I realize, you know, some of that, whatever that might be, it was weighing me down. It wasn't the best things. And now that it's been taken away, you know what? I realize I don't need it anymore. And maybe the Lord can even get a hold of our hearts through this and help us realize, you know, Hebrews chapter 12 talks about laying aside the sin and the weights. Maybe the Lord can say, hey, there's some things to purge that will help us have a freer spirit as we go forward. Amen. I saw someone the other day. They did a great, good bit of research about the Spanish flu that took place in 1918. And were dealing with a lot of things that are dealing with now as far as churches being closed and things like that. The churches reported after that there was a renewed fervency towards the things of God. Say, why would that be? Well, all this has forced us to close in, if you will. And there's times of our life that have great noise that now might be a little more silent. You know what? That's a good opportunity to do some inventory and think, is my spirit right before the Lord? Is it clean like it should be? We need a clean spirit. Third thing, I've got several of these, so we'll move along through them. Third thing, we need a fervent spirit. Look at Romans chapter number 12. Romans chapter number 12. Bible in verse number 10, Paul writes, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. So the Apostle Paul here, giving instruction to these people here in Rome, he said, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. He commands us here to be fervent in spirit. This right now seems to be kind of an unproductive time to a lot of people. So I would challenge us all, make sure that you stay busy. It's important. You know, find a purpose. Now, if you're a teacher and you're setting up online learning and you're transitioning there, or if you're a mom with kids at home or a dad with kids at home and suddenly adjusting to a new learning program that you're not used to and all, probably you're not looking for anything to do right now. But there's folks that have been laid off, or there's folks that have their job has transitioned them to working at home. And you know what? It's a brand new feeling. It's a brand new environment. And if we're not careful, we can kind of naturally develop a slothful spirit towards what we need to do. And when we do that, you know what? That weakens our spirit. Find stuff to do. You know, spring clean. Say, I did it already. Do it again. You know, be determined that if you're working from home, you're going to be as productive. This is what he's talking about in business here. Determine that you're going to be as productive or even more so than you were before. I really appreciate the folks that work here. We've worked at helping some of them work from home and such. And more than once in talking to different ones, they go, they've gone, oh, you know what? I could do this. I could work. And they come up with some project that's been kind of laying there to get to. And they're saying, I can do this now when I'm that. You know what? I appreciate that. I appreciate that fervency of spirit where you see it and you realize folks are still willing to get the job done. They're still willing to do it. And we need to maintain that fervency. And certainly we need to maintain that fervency about our relationship with the Lord. You know, don't let that computer screen that you might have to watch the services on become a barrier between you and the Lord speaking to your heart. Work to maintain and build a fervency in your walk with the Lord now. Read your Bible every day. Pray, talk to Him. Listen to the services. Watch them on purpose. Maintain a fervency about them. Look forward to the day. Be gleeful about the thought of the day where these things come off and we can come back together again. Maintain a fervency of spirit in the Lord. Don't stop. Don't go back. Don't backslide. Don't get slothful in things. No, and ask the Lord to help you to be more fervent in spirit than you even were before. So we need a regenerate spirit. We need a clean spirit. We need a fervent spirit. We also, Ephesians chapter number 4, we need a renewed spirit. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23. I went the wrong way. Hang on a second. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 talks about how we, in this part of the Ephesians, the latter part, talks about how we deal with strongholds in our life, how we put off that which is bad. We replace it by putting on that which is new, but there's something that happens in between that to make it work, and it's this, verse 23 of Ephesians 4, and it's, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind," he says. In other words, you have to think differently about it. If you've got a bad habit, you want to get over it. The pattern of scriptures, you get rid of it, and you put on something good. You add something good to replace it. But in order for that to work, you have to start thinking differently about that which was bad. But there's a concept here that's in other places in the Bible. You hear it in Romans chapter number 12. He says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." There needs to be a renewing that takes place. You know, every morning, read your Bible. Renew that walk with the Lord. Every morning, you might need to remind yourself to stay encouraged in the Lord. Sometimes you talk to people. I've had several people call, and you know they're talking through different things, and you're just telling them. You're just trying to tell them what the Bible says or remind them of that, And more than once at the end of the conversation, the person goes, "Boy, it's helped me to talk about it." And I'm thinking, you know, it's not like I don't even know what I said hardly. But what it is, the things that we should know, we don't live by. They're promises that we have claimed, we don't maintain. We've got to go through a process of renewing that. We can't just coast through and expect it all to maintain. If we stop, the status quo always equals a regression. It'll always go back. So we've got to actively pursue the renewing of our spirit. Here talks about the spirit of the mind. We need to continue to work at renewing that spirit. The fifth thing here. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, we need a glorifying spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, a glorifying spirit. The Bible says in verse 19, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." We've been bought with a price. So he said, glorify God both in your body and in your spirit. You know, when we're looking for a spirit to sustain us through infirmity, we need to have a glorifying spirit, or one that shines the light on God. Don't forget the things of God and what God has done for you. Be thankful for what he has done. And with joy, anticipate what he is going to do. Can I just testify for just a minute? I've seen him at work recently. Now, this is just me testifying. I've seen him at work recently. See, schools have to transition and move. All of a sudden, online things are necessary. I've seen the Lord open up doors that we didn't think would be opened up, happen quickly. And you know what? When I look at it, with the right mindset, one to give him the glory, I look and go, God has been at work behind the scene through this whole thing. God's helped us. He's carried us through. You see, that's what when we have us in our spirit, we're glorifying God, we realize, you know, the physical circumstances might not be easy, but we can see that God's at work through it all, and we can give him glory through it all. Well, God's helped us so many times over these last couple weeks. You know what, though? It's a good reminder. The reality is God helps us through every couple of weeks. But these times make it very clear. We need to have a glorifying spirit. You know, spend time at your home. Families are together right now. That's a good thing. Spend time at home. Maybe go around the table. Tell them something you're thankful for. Say, well, that's for Thanksgiving. Well, it can be Thanksgiving now. Have a spirit that glorifies God. We need a glorifying spirit. Moving on quickly, we need a serving spirit. Romans chapter number 1, I'll just read it to you in verse number 9. It says, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Paul, who had not been to Rome, was writing to Rome to be a help to Rome, and he said to them, talking about God, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son. He wasn't there physically, but in his spirit he was serving God, and he wrote a letter. And that was a help and a blessing to him. You know, friend, just because we might have been kind of confined in a way that we're not normally confined doesn't mean that our service should be confined. Friend, the gospel is never quarantined. That's why I think as a church, we ought to be, in this, especially these times, doing what we've been trying to do to get it out over the airwaves, over the whatever you call it, the laser beams or whatever transports this stuff around the world. Because the gospel is not quarantined. The Holy Spirit is not quarantined. And so don't look at it as being sidelined from service. Paul served the Lord even when he was in prison. He served the Lord. Why? Because he had a spirit that was interested in serving. So no matter where you're at, no matter what your circumstances are, think of ways, ask God to show you ways that you can serve him through these times. We're so connected. Use it. Probably everybody can think, if everybody put their mind to it, you could think of one person, just one person, that you could send a text message to and say, hey, our church is live streaming services on Sunday. Here's the time. And you know what? They'll probably be more receptive to that now than they ever have been. And you know what? We know how it works. As soon as this is over, in about 2 months, we won't even remember what coronavirus is. Just that's the way we're geared. So this window is temporary. Let's use it for everything that we can. There's people I know, even our church, that put their effort into writing a tract to give the friends and relatives to get them exposed to the gospel through this. Have a serving spirit during these times. Think of people. Think of ways to reach out, and God will bless you. The seventh thing, and I'm done. Last thing, I promise. Back in Proverbs chapter number 18, we need to guard against a wounded spirit. Proverbs chapter number 18, guard against a wounded spirit. He says, Proverbs 18:14 is where we started. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? You know, this is a tough time for a lot of people. Tough time for a lot of reasons. But friend, don't ever let a temporary problem do permanent damage. Guard against a wounded spirit. Take it to the Lord first. Say, I'm struggling. First thing for a believer, take it to the Lord. But then don't be afraid to reach out to a brother or sister in Christ and go to them. The Bible tells us that's part of a church body, is to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Call somebody, text somebody, call us, me or Pastor Townsley, Brother Petrie, Email the church office, whatever. Let us know. We'll be happy to call you and talk to you, pray with you, whatever. But don't let a wounded spirit set up and become, that wound become greater. Protect against it. Guard against it. This too shall pass. This is but a temporary parenthesis on the scale of eternity. To us, it seems like this life-altering thing, but think about God's view, who is eternal, who has been through and has walked through every inch of history, who has supervised it all and been there and seen it all. Think about how minuscule this would seem from his perspective. And you know, as believers, friend, we don't live in the temporal. We live for the eternal.
True.
Don't let a wounded spirit set up. He said the spirit of a man will sustain him. So what will get me through this? Having a spirit that's strong in the Lord. A spirit that's right with him. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day.